when the Blue Jays open up the season 1 week from Monday in the Bronx against the New York Yankees. Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball, joins us right now from beautiful Dunedin, which, contrary to popular belief, does not have many Waffle Houses at all. Hello, Michael.
I don't believe there are any Waffle Houses within the city limits of Dunedin, Florida.
Yeah, that's surprising to me because I've been saying that it's
a real
littered
shame
with,
is what it is.
Yeah, it's a goddamn shame. All right, so the Blue Jays now looks like, I would be shocked at this point if Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna don't both make the team. Is that correct? Is Devin Travis the second baseman? What's left to be decided?
Well, yeah, I would be shocked as well. I mean, there's still a far outside chance that Todd Redmond and Liam Hendricks both make the team and Roberto Osuna doesn't. But I can't see that happening. I think that one of Redmond or Hendricks will go and Osuna will stay. Yeah, Devin Travis is going to be the starting second baseman. And Ryan Goins will, they're turning him into a jack of all trades. He's played third and left as well as second and short over the last couple of games, which is kind of cool. He's handled it well. What's left to be decided, I guess, is who's going to be the third lefty in the bullpen. Will it be Jeff Francis or will it be Colt Hines? And I think Justin Smoke's going to be the first baseman. So I think that decision's been made so far, but Derek Barton is still in camp.
Is Derek Barton on a minor league deal, or is it if
yes.
they don't? Okay, so
nope,
he can
on a minor league deal, so there's no issue.
That's a pretty good weapon to have down in AAA, a guy that can at least take a walk and who has major league experience if somebody goes down.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's kind of like having Dan Johnson last year.
Yeah.
So it's a very helpful thing, absolutely.
So, Mike, I'm trying to wrap my head around a lot of things. I want to get to the story you have on sportsnet.ca as well before we have to wrap up here before the bottom of the hour about the Kyle Drabek leaving via waivers and the Roy Halladay trade and looking back on that. But let's start with the Shai Davidi piece from yesterday and the idea that the Blue Jays are changing their philosophy when it comes to young pitchers and setting, you know, limits as far as innings pitched and increasing by 20%. They're not going to be bound by anything, I guess, anymore. And, I mean, it goes to show that you've got 20-year-olds Castro and Osuna making this team and Daniel Norris and Aaron Sanchez in the starting rotation. It seems like it's not just them, right? It's not the Blue Jays aren't on an island here in Major League Baseball doing this. This seems to be a trend in the majors as far as getting what you can out of young pitchers now because you don't know how long you'll have them for.
Yeah, I don't know if it's quite that simple. I mean, I wouldn't say they're not going to be bound by anything.
No.
They're going to be bound by a lot of things, but just different things. They're not going to be bound by hard numbers and pitch limits and innings limits and percentage increases and those things. But they are going to be they're still being careful and they're just looking at different things rather than saying, you know, you can't have more than a 20% increase in innings year over year and things like that. The truth of the matter is nothing has worked so far. So why not try something else? And again, we've talked about how much this is a do-or-die year for the Alex Anthopoulos regime. If you're going to go out, you might as well go out with a bang and, you know, try something that nobody else is trying. The pitch limits, innings limits, those sorts of things are not working. Nothing that Major League Baseball is doing is working right now. To stop pitchers from getting hurt. The epidemic continues. So why not? If you think you've figured out something that might work, give it a shot. And that's what the Blue Jays are doing.
Safe to say Alex Anthopoulos would not, you know, make the moves of having guys who topped out at A-ball last year in Castro Osuna. Those guys aren't making this team 5 years ago in Alex Anthopoulos' first year as the GM of the Blue Jays. I mean, if they're in the same situation.
Yeah, no, I don't think they are.
Yeah.
No, probably not. But, I mean, things evolve and you learn and you watch and you see what happens. I mean, you look at I've brought this up a few times. Look at the St. Louis Cardinals in 2013. They brought up Carlos Martinez, as a 21-year-old, to be a spot starter pitch out of their pen the last couple of months of the year. And He was an absolute force in the playoffs. Blue Jays did the same thing last year with Aaron Sanchez, and had they won those five more games and been in the playoffs, there's no question that Sanchez would have been a huge piece of whatever they would have done in the bullpen. Stuff plays, and if you're 20 years old and you're throwing strikes and you have great stuff, well, then you're throwing strikes and you have great stuff, and you could probably get major league hitters out. I've come around to the idea that you're just wasting bullets if you're in the minor leagues. Why not? Why not use them in the bigs if they can do it?
Everybody's arm explodes eventually, so might as well have them throw in the major leagues before they explode.
Right. Why have them pitch 3 years in the minors on their way up to the majors, dominate, get to the big leagues, and then blow out?
Right.
When you could have those 3 years in the majors.
The only thing I would say, well, not the only thing, but one of the things I would say about having 20-year-old unproven pitchers in your bullpen is you'd like to protect them in that bullpen and have them maybe start off in lower leverage situations. I don't know if this team is going to have that luxury, Mike. I think Miguel Castro goes into the season as that right-handed setup man. He's going to pitch eight innings of tight games, and Osuna, I don't know, is right behind him. Where do they factor into this?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Why baby them? They're ready, and Castro has looked almost perfect this spring against some really strong hitters. He's pitching. They're both pitching today, but Atlanta didn't really bring the big boppers here. So the test won't be as great as it was, say, for Castro against the Yankees that night in Tampa a couple of weeks ago. But why not? You know, first time Aaron Sanchez pitched in the major leagues was in a one-run game.
Sure.
And I'm all for throw these guys in. They're the best arms you have, so use them.
I'm not saying that that's wrong. I would say that there's another way to look at it as well, is you don't know. I mean, throwing against even major league hitters in Dunedin is certainly a whole lot different than pitching in front of 50,000 people, that's singular.
It's a lot. I mean, pitching in front of 50,000 people is way more than that. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
And who knows how they're going to react?
Huge difference. Yeah. And there's only one way to find out.
We don't know. I would like to think that it won't be any different.
And if you start them off in the sixth inning of a game where you're up or down by eight runs and they succeed there, you're still not going to know if they can succeed in a one-run game in the eighth inning.
Yeah, and I'm just saying it would be probably a better situation if you were going into a year knowing you have to make the playoffs or you're fired, if you had a little more of a sure thing. But beggars can't be choosers, I guess.
And there's, remember, too, that in a bullpen, there's no such thing as a sure thing unless you're talking about Mariano Rivera or Trevor Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't.
All right, so let's talk about your story, Mike. I got into it a little bit on Twitter yesterday, revisiting the R.A. Dickey trade. People like to go back and revisit trades and
yep,
try and decide whether they were wins or losses for teams. I get it. It's kind of a fun exercise. So let's go back to the Roy Halladay deal, and you broke down on Sportsnet.ca a bunch of the high-profile ace starter trades throughout baseball over the last 10 years or so, with the gold standard, of course, being the...
No, it's just a...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was just around the 2 years around the Halladay trade, because if you go a little further, I think you get a... There was one really terrible one that I didn't have in there, and there was one really good one that I didn't have in there.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep it to 2 years around Halladay.
Yeah, the gold standard, though, clearly is the Bartolo Colon trade for the Expos.
Yeah.
And Cliff Lee, Grady Sizemore, Brandon Phillips, all those guys involved there. There's a lot of swings and misses,
although Phillips,
though,
again, yeah, Phillips wasn't a star with the Indians, and that's important to remember, too.
Yep.
I mean, you talk about when you talk about that trade, it was really just Cliff Lee and Grady Sizemore, which is still pretty damn good. But
yeah,
Brandon Phillips did become a perennial all-star, but the Indians got nothing for him. And he was one of those guys who was out of options at the end of camp and wasn't going to make the team. So they just made a trade to get whatever they could, and what they got was nothing.
And Bartolo Colon's pretty good in stuff, too. And he certainly was with the Angels.
What's crazy is that, you know, Grady Sizemore was one of the great prospects traded for Bartolo Colon, and Colon's still going, and Sizemore isn't.
That's
Cliff
insane.
Lee's career might be over,
yes,
with the elbow thing, and Colon's still going.
I hadn't thought about that. That is ridiculous. I hope he never retires.
Yep.
And I hope he stays in the National League and has to bat, because that is fun to watch. Yeah, so, I mean, looking back at the Halladay deal, I mean, there were so many restrictions on Anthopoulos when he had to make that deal too, right? I mean, there was not only the fact that Halladay wasn't coming back, he kind of wanted to pick his spot. He wanted to go to the Phillies, really, because their minor league complex is so close to where he lives in the offseason. They ended up grabbing...
Yeah, because they'd just been to the World Series 2 years in a row.
Yeah, all that. And they end up getting some pretty good prospects. And here, you know, years later, there's still parts of that. I mean, they got it helped them get a Cy Young Award winner. Now, granted, people don't look at R.A. Dickey as a Cy Young Award winner anymore, but pretty good piece. And they got a guy who's going to be their starting second baseman by proxy this year.
Yeah, through the you know, the long way around, right? Michael Taylor, who the Blue Jays got in that deal, I believe just retired a couple of weeks ago.
I saw that.
But they traded Taylor the instant that they got him for Brett Wallace, who begat Anthony Gose, who begat Devin Travis. And the Devin Travis era is just beginning with the Blue Jays now. They got 6 years of Devin Travis, and they got half of R.A. Dickey. So, you know, when you look at all those trades of ace for prospects, that's probably the second best return of any one of those ace for prospect deals besides the Zach Greinke deal.
Yeah, the Zach Greinke deal was a good one. And that one I hadn't thought of until I read your piece. Yeah, because the Royals got a whole bunch of pieces and they flipped a couple of them to the Rays. And a big part of the reason they made the World Series last year was because of that trade and the return they got for him. What about the catching?
Yeah, but it was—I mean, it was mostly Will Myers, right? But
yeah.
But Jake Odorizzi was a big part of that.
Sure.
But yeah, they still got Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar out of that trade, and
yep.
Cain was the ALCS MVP. So that's a good trade.
Yeah, and definitely a good trade. All right. So what about the catching situation, Mike? I mentioned that. Yeah, it seems like most things are shored up, and we think Justin Smoak's going to make this team. He's hit some home runs recently, and we know he plays pretty good defense at first base. The Toley thing, I haven't heard much about it recently, which makes me think that, and especially the way you envision the bench, it's just so much worse if you have to carry Toley. Does he at least start the season in
AAA? Yeah, I think that's settled.
Yeah, it's over?
I believe so. Yeah, I think that's over. I mean, they haven't really announced it yet, and R.A. Dickey, I think, still has a start left here in the next couple of days. And he started in the minor league complex last time, and I think Toley caught him. Actually, no, Dickey is not going to start in Florida unless he starts that game in Fort Myers on the last day, which I wouldn't bet on. So it may be over, and I think it is. I think that Russell Martin is going to catch Dickey, and he's going to be able to do a decent enough job of it. And if he gets worn down, you know, you've got Toley down there, and you can always call him up. And you can always call up Toley for a couple of weeks and have him catch Dickey three times and then send him down and do it again a month later.
Yeah.
And it also depends on what's going to happen with Deonner Navarro. I mean, there still exists the possibility that Deonner Navarro gets traded prior to opening day or at some point in the first month of the season.
That's not a horrible place to be in, though, if you're the Blue Jays and Deonner Navarro is your backup catcher, is it, Mike?
Nope, not at all. I mean, he's shown that he can step in and he can do the job very obviously. He did it full-time last year. Make no bones about it. I mean, Russell Martin is a much, much, much better receiver than Deonner Navarro is. He's a better offensive player as well. But Deonner Navarro showed last year that he can once again be a full-time catcher in the big leagues. And if that's what you need, if Martin goes down, if something happens, he's wonderful to have. And look, David Ross is a backup catcher making $2.5 million, and he can't be a full-timer if you need him.
Right.
Deonner Navarro is making twice that, and he can.
What about Cold Hines? Has he made this team as the third lefty out of the bullpen?
Not yet, I don't think. He and Jeff Francis are both slated to pitch today, and there's no threat of rain today, so they're going to get the whole game in.
Yay.
I think it's still between Hines and Francis. I mean, Francis, there's something to be said for the fact that he's a major league veteran, and he's done all this stuff, and yeah, he hasn't been good in a long time, but Francis has been, he had one terrible outing, Outside of that, he's allowed 4 base runners in 6 innings. Cole Hines has allowed 3 base runners in 8 1/3 innings. He's been unbelievable, but you have the chance to go with the veteran who's been almost as good. I'm not sure they're sure what they're going to do there.
Mike, I mentioned this on Twitter the other day that I'm trying to think of how many clunkers the starters have had this spring. And, yeah, there was the Marco Estrada one, but he's no longer a starter. Maybe Mark Burley had a clunker. I don't even care about spring results, clearly, for Mark Burley or R.A. Dickey. But the starters, the young starters, and maybe you could say Aaron Sanchez's first of the spring was a clunker, even though he only went, whatever, 1 2/3 innings, whatever
inning
it was.
Thirds.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
But you know what? He gave up a 3-run homer right after a 2-out error, so you have to remember that one too.
Yeah.
The inning should have been over. But yeah, you haven't. There haven't been too many of those games, or there haven't really been any, where your starting pitcher just gets absolutely hammered.
I know.
And that's very unusual for a spring. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know. I mean, it sounds so nitpicky and so negative to say, oh, well, the Blue Jays starters haven't struggled enough in spring, but I don't know. Wouldn't you like to at least see some of that? I don't know how to feel about it. I just know that it exists, and it's not normally like this. And to never put too much stock into spring training results, although the process has also looked good for all those starters.
And that's the more important thing, I think, is that how the process over performance, right? I think that it's, you know, they've all looked good. Sometimes they've gotten away with a little stuff, but there's been enough trouble, you know, that they've had to pitch out of jams and things like that. It is really weird, though, and you kind of expect maybe at some point someone's going to get lit up, and you worry that, well, it hasn't happened in the spring. Maybe it's going to happen in the regular season.
Right.
And it could, it's a little bit weird to feel weird about that. But I know exactly where you are.
Plus, you're dealing with all these young players, Asuna and Castro and Travis and Sanchez and Norris and Pompey. There's so many of them. The odds are not great that all of those guys are going to go 162 games, be in the major leagues, and be consistent good performance all season long, right, Mike? I mean, there's going to be backup plans to those guys. There has to be, because 1, 2, maybe even 3 of them will falter.
Yep. But the biggest backup plan, I think, is the offense. And it's one of the best in the major leagues. And that's something that we can't forget. You know, these guys don't have to go out there and post 250 ERAs or even 350 ERAs. This is a team that will bludgeon other teams into submission a lot of times over the course of the year, and they're going to be able to overcome their pitchers' deficiencies. But the reason as well why Steve Delabar is not here, along with the fact that his splitter wasn't the Steve Delabar splitter that we needed, that the Blue Jays needed to be, and that we as observers want it to be, is because they need a few long men. And that's going to be, you would think, Todd Redman and Marco Estrada and Roberto Osuna, maybe, because you're expecting that these starting pitchers are going to need a lot of support sometimes. There are going to be games where your starter's not going to make it out of the third. And you know, with a 24-year-old, a 22-year-old, and a 21-year-old in the rotation, you kind of need that extra backup for a while.
I got about a minute left here, Mike. How much is this organization soured on Steve Delabar?
I don't know. I don't think that they've soured on him. I think they just want him to be the pitcher that he was 2 years ago, and he's not yet. I mean, there was a hot gun in Sarasota when he pitched, and we were still only seeing 92s, so you want him to be up around 94. More importantly, you want that fastball command so that he's ahead in counts, and it sets up that killer splitter that people just can't lay off. And in that game, J.J. Hardy laid off 2 splitters with 2 strikes on him, which, you know, when Steve Delabar is on the top of his game, that's impossible to do. So it's not that they've soured on him. It's just that they want him to look the way he looked, to pitch the way he pitched when he was an all-star.
Yeah, they're certainly not sweet on him at this point. All right, so...
Miguel Castro's been better.
I mean, that's... Right? It's hard to argue that.
And that's a big deal. It's a big part of it.
Yeah, he was just plain beat out. All right, Mike, I will be listening at the bottom of the clock here. Enjoy your final days in Florida, and then enjoy Montreal as well.
Well, thank you. Five more days in Florida. It's going to be a blast. And remember, on the pregame show today, we'll have all the fixins for you. Jerry's got John Gibbons. I'll talk to Joe Siddle. And I did a wonderful interview with Aaron Sanchez as well. So make sure everybody tunes in for that.
We will. Thank you, Michael.